Wisconsin, and on the free Civic Media app. 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Frost advisory tonight, mostly clear, patchy frost and lows in the mid-30s tonight. Sunshine for tomorrow, a high temp in the mid-60s. Slight shower chance Thursday night. Back into sunshine for Friday, highs once again in the mid-60s. Currently 57 degrees.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's get it going. Hope y'all are having a great Wednesday afternoon out there. Your host, James, here. Should be joined by our sports director around these parts, Michael Comer, any moment now. Appreciate you joining the conversation. Get on the phone line, 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. We want to hear from you, everybody. Get into our schedule throughout the show here today. Get into some River Kings talk. Want to talk some Major League Baseball. A couple of interesting stats happening in the last couple of games since the last time we had a chance to talk. I have a couple of places I want to go. But I want to get to, I like to start on positives. I like to start on a good note. So I've got I'm going to bookend this one. I got two really good stories, and I'm going to give you one right now, and then I'll give you the other one at the end of the show. Last week, there was a youth football game at Arkansas where both teams showed sportsmanship by allowing a third grader named John to score a 70-yard touchdown. It may be the greatest 70-yard touchdown you'll ever see. John has autism, and before the game, the coaches of both teams chatted about doing something special for him, and when the opposing kids were told about the play, they were excited about it too. Maybe even more excited than his own teammates. They even made him earn it a little bit by, you know, they didn't just let, you know, keep their hands off. They kind of sold it, if you will. Yeah, there's some great video of it. If you need a palate cleanser today, you need something to smile about or make you smile, watch this play and watch, I think, my new favorite running back, John here, because he doesn't necessarily know which direction to go at first, and so his teammates are helping him. And then there's a couple of kids that wanted to make sure that they sold it so John didn't think that he just had it too easy. It's kids being kids at their best. It's an awesome, awesome thing. It's what sports is all about. Go ahead and look that one up. I think if you threw in there John and Arkansas youth football, some of those things, it'll pop up for you. Encourage you to check that one out, everybody. I want to get into the NFL schedule, but before I do, there was a play that happened over the weekend in one of the weirdest games of the NFL, young NFL season. The Titans and the Arizona Cardinals were facing off. And towards the end of the game, into the third quarter, it started to seem like a game of hot potato. And like, hey, do you want to? We don't want to win. You take the win. No, you take the win. There is a play where Kyler Murray is sitting back and waiting for the snap. And I don't know if he just doesn't know the snap count or he changed the snap count, what happens. But the ball comes skyrocketing and shoots him right in the helmet. And he is dazed. He is not ready for this. And his reaction is, I'm sorry, comical. It is one of the oddest football plays I think I've ever seen. I've seen plenty of fumbles. I've seen plenty of times where the quarterback and the center are not on the same page. And the ball gets snapped in a weird way, goes flying, whatever. Not only have I never seen it go where it's just shot directly into the quarterback's face, just right into his face, but there were rumors going around with no, and all speculation, it should be noted, but this Kyler Murray may have gotten a concussion from this. And you know, it's one thing when your offensive lineman steps on your quarterback's foot or something like that, or, you know, players bumping into each other because the play is busted or something. You talk about player-on-player crime. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. It's a wild play. As much money as NFL players are paid, should they ever make mistakes? Ever? Like, there's a lot of money here. It's a lot of money. A lot of time being spent on this sport. A lot of money, time, energy. Like, the fact that these kind of plays happen, and they are human. They are allowed to be human. But I think as fans, we're also allowed to look at that like, you're paid a lot of money, man. A lot of money to be the face of the franchise. And yeah, I know it's the Arizona Cardinals, but it's still an NFL franchise. And this is what you are. This is what you want. This is the peak Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray ain't getting better. Kyler Murray ain't gonna turn this around and all of a sudden become a Hall of Famer. We've seen the peak of him. This is it. Taking a snap at the wrong time and getting a concussion from your center. It's I'm sure that he got his, and I know he got his money, but I'm sure he's happy about that and everything. But I wonder if he could still have a career in baseball at this point. I wonder if he could, because if you don't remember, those that don't know, he had a chance to, there was a, you know, he was going back and forth at the time, do I want to play baseball? Do I want to play football? He was drafted by the Oakland A's. I don't know, but he's got some plays, certainly. But so do guys in rec leagues or playing over on a dirt field somewhere that do a couple of things. You're like, man, you could have went pro. Yeah, because everybody's got a couple plays in them. That don't make you a pro. What makes you a pro is being able to do it consistently on a professional level. And being a professional, because you're paid to do a job. So you treat it that way. Not playing video games or just hanging out when you should be going over your playbook. It's not a great organization. And there's plenty of things that you could say as far as, you know, other things that have nothing to do with Kyler Murray and all that. But it's just another disappointment at quarterback. And there's just so many more bad stories and bad endings of quarterbacks than there are of good ones. You can make an argument that starting pitching in baseball, especially going forward, is the most valuable position in sports. It's hard not to say the quarterback is, though. And how many legitimately great quarterbacks are there in NFL or even in college football right now? I mean, when you think about it, there isn't enough to fill most NFL teams, let alone 32 of them, for all NFL teams. And it's only worse when you look at college. And if you're looking at the next class, the next draft class, and the next man up, it's only getting worse. There were three guys that every NFL GM, every NFL scout would have told you, this is a can't miss, this is a first rounder, and we come into the college football season. And now all three of those guys, nobody's talking about. They're talking about three stars. They're talking about four stars. They're talking about guys that, were in the transfer portal, showed up somewhere, and now they're doing well because they have a different coach or a different, playbook. It is wild. There are more good catchers out there than there are quarterbacks. It's a wild thing to think about. And I don't know that there's a lot of hope on the horizon with the position. There's some good young quarterbacks out there, sure. But I mean, good. I don't know who the next legend is. I mean, I think Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are both on great trajectories. But they got to do this for a lot longer than what they have. And there's no guarantee that they will, as we see Lamar Jackson is out right now. Josh Allen is one bad hit to the head away. I don't know. Wild thing to think about. We'll see where the position goes as we go forward. I want to look at the NFL schedule. I want to dive into that a little bit. I know that there's some darn good games this week, but I also know that there's one that a team that I couldn't care less about. I'm kind of a little excited to see how they react, and I can't help myself. And I I want to give the NFL a little bit of credit here, and at the same time want to, you know, show you what money can do. We all know Thursday Night Football. Michael Comer, sports director around these parts, joining us. Good to see you, brother.
Yeah, good. You can mark me safe for Mark Sanchez, but I do think I got a few Jerry Jones howdies on my way here.
Man, watch out, because he's got those double birds going now.
Yeah,
you got to watch out for him and everything. He don't care. Jerry's going loose.
He's letting her fly.
definitely. Looking at the NFL schedule here and just seeing a look at, you know, for anybody that's watching football for more than 2 seconds, Thursday Night Football, it's real hit or miss. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Last week was great.
This season has been great. This season's been wonderful. It shows you what Amazon money does. It shows you. Like, Thursday Night Football's on the NFL Network. We're getting, you know, the trash games of the week.
Well, they've always said there's a lot of money to be made in the rainforest.
They go to Amazon, and all of a sudden, now Amazon's like, hey, we want the good ones. Give us the good stuff, and now you're getting them. Now, not maybe so much this week.
This one lost some luster.
Eagles and Giants. I will say, though, if there is one very, very attractive thing about this game, certainly if the Giants were to manage to pull off an upset, I think that's, you know, going to be talked about, certainly. But I'm thinking more, the Eagles lost their first game. The Eagles, all they seem to do is listen to other people. I have no idea when they have time to listen to their own coaches, or their coaches have a chance to listen to themselves or each other or anything, because all they seem to do is listen to the media and listen to what other people are saying and their fan base. The Eagles have got to be ticked. They got to be angry, and they got to be coming at the Giants, a team that is a wounded animal that could not even beat the Saints last week.
I know.
Lost to the Saints with your new New York hero and everything, and Jackson Dart and stuff, and you couldn't do it. You got beat by the Aints. So if Philly goes in there and they do what they should do and roll over in New York, I'm curious to see if they got that dog still in them, you know? Now, if they come out and it's a close game and they win, like Philadelphia's every game this season that Philadelphia has played has been a close game. And this is just the one that didn't go their way. But any one of them could have. And they very easily could be 0-5. Look at their scores. Look at the way that these games broke down. So if they come out and lay an egg, whether they win or lose, I really think that tells you a lot as you know, what Philly's got for the season. Because they've shown you this before, that kind of anger, that kind of dog can only be roused up in certain moments in certain ways. And especially once you've won a title.
Yep.
It's really hard to keep that energy going. I want to win. I want to win. I want to win. I get a Super Bowl ring. I want to win. I want to win. I want Kokomo. I want to go on vacation. I'm tired.
I want a Philly cheesesteak.
I want to relax. I want to watch Sunday Night Football by myself and not have to play in it. There's different things that come up. I think we're going to see a lot in that game. And why does this matter at all here in Wisconsin? Well, that's your competitor. If you're the Green Bay Packers, that's the team that you got to be keeping an eye on. Not to say that there isn't other teams that could bubble up, and there isn't other teams to watch out for. Washington's starting to get a little swagger back. Yep. Certainly something to keep an eye on there. And I think there's other you know, conversations there as well. Detroit and other things just in the division. But Philly's the dog. Philly's the one that you got to beat. Philly's the one that you got to think of. At least right now, that's the team that we're going to have to match up against. How do we size up against Philadelphia?
Right.
How does Micah Parsons do coming around that Lane Johnson being able to get that, All he is quads. All Jalen Hurts is his quads now. That's it. He's turned into nothing but quads. He's quad man. And how are you going to tackle that guy? That's what you got to think about. If Philly comes out and lays an egg, maybe you don't have to worry about them as much. Maybe they aren't as much of a team that you got.
Right.
So that offensive line has been beat to shreds in the last three seasons.
Yes.
And I am not an Eagles fan. I could not care less about that team, especially because of their coach. I have the least amount of, maybe the coach I have the least amount of respect for in the NFL. But it's impressive what they've done in the last 3 years. It's impressive what they've done, losing a Super Bowl and having the drive to get back there.
And then put a whooping on it. Yeah.
We don't see that very often. Teams get beaten. They don't come back. It's hard to come back when you win, let alone when you lose. I'm impressed by that team and what they've pulled off, especially in spite of bad coaching. I think that they've won in spite of their coaching, whereas they, you know, have not won because of.
Some people could say the same thing about Green Bay.
I think with the Holmgren era. I did this last week too. The McCarthy era. Holmgren era is etched in stone as legendary, and I don't want to besmirch the name.
I was speaking about the LaFleur. I was speaking about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I was leading up to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You've got two coaches now back-to-back where you can say this about
yep.
And it's odd because with LaFleur, I could say that about him too, but now my argument is he's doing too much coaching.
Yeah.
He's not letting Jordan Love be Jordan
right.
Love.
We talked about that last week. Yeah.
It's odd the way this went, but yes, 100% that the way that this was looking for LaFleur before Rodgers left was, he's right. this because of Rodgers.
I mean, we're looking at some of those Thursday night games. I mean, looking ahead next week, the Bengals and the Steelers.
Oh.
I mean, and that might be an interesting one, too, because, I mean, the Bengals, just picked up Joe Flacco. That's going to be the second time that Green Bay is going to be facing Joe Flacco. Now, not Joe Flacco didn't tear it up or anything like that, and he's going to be behind a considerably worse offensive line this week.
Joe Flacco knows he can't retire, right? Like, he can't retire.
Right.
I don't care if he's 80. He's got to still be in an NFL roster. I want him to stay in the league.
It's like Brett Favre.
Yes, I want him to stay in the league.
And then let's just round out October. Vikings at the Chargers. That should be a decent one on paper.
One. Yeah.
And then one that... It's probably going to be so bad it's good. Baltimore at Miami. Sometimes those really bad games are the best ones.
Lamar might be back by then, too, so that could be interesting. Looking at this week, week six, I can't believe we're already in week six.
I know, man.
Rams and Ravens was supposed to be good. Rams are a good team, but the Ravens just, it's hard for me to count them out, but you gotta.
There's a mix of them. I mean, Seahawks, Jaguars.
That should be interesting.
That should be a fun one.
Are the Jaguars going to be able to keep that going? Or are they going to have a letdown?
49ers, Buccaneers.
Definitely good. Any game with the so you've got a two crazy things colliding here. It doesn't matter how many guys go out for Kyle Shanahan. He is truly the coach of next man up, and they just keep winning, man. Whether you like them or not, they keep winning. As long as it isn't a playoff game or a Super Bowl, they can keep winning in the regular season and do this. And then you've got Baker, who.
He hardly has anyone to throw the ball to anymore.
I don't know when this happened, but at some point or another, I became a Baker guy and just like somebody that enjoys watching him play football.
Always have been.
I wasn't always. I'll be honest.
Yeah. I always have been. But
I never hated him. I never disliked him. But I didn't necessarily see the charm. Some of the humbling that he went through, and not just recently, but even before he got to the NFL, started to, I think, lead the way to this. And this is a kid who sees the big picture and understood that, I could lose all this. So where a lot of these guys, like the Manziels and some of them, get an ego, I'm not going to back up, I'm not going to play for this amount of money. Baker Mayfield was like, give me a contract. And he's over in Carolina, scout team in Carolina. And if it isn't for McVay over in St. Louis, in Los Angeles with the Rams, bringing him in, who knows if he gets a second chance like this. And we would have that taken away from us as sports fans. I have no reason to. I just love good football, and I love these quarterbacks you can't kill. I miss this. I miss that quarterback that, man, a minute left in the game, they get the ball. I didn't want to look. I don't want to, because I know he's going to beat my team. I know what's going to happen.
Yep.
I don't feel like we have many of those anymore.
Not too many, no.
Baker's that guy. Baker could mess around, and he's going to get in that MVP conversation.
I'm not saying
he's going to win, but he'll get in that conversation.
I saw something about that already that they're talking I forget who they're talking about, and I just looked at it. I was on one of the talking head networks, and I just said you can't have this discussion without Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
You can't.
Yep.
But, I mean, there's also looking at the other games going on, Lions Chiefs on Sunday night.
That game is a game to show the world if you're the Detroit Lions that we are here. Week one was not here. Week one didn't matter. If you are the Chiefs. You need a W. You've got to get to 500. You cannot. You lost one. You let one slip away to Jacksonville. You've got to be able to do. You've got to go out there and win. If you have any chance of making a real run here and getting back to the playoffs and the Super Bowl and all that, that's a tough division. They've got to step up.
All right.
The Buffalo Atlanta game, I would like to get excited.
That's
about
interesting to
Buffalo
me.
Buffalo plays down to the talent,
right?
And I hate that.
Right.
I can't trust a team. I like Josh Allen. I like that team.
They're so dangerous.
I really like watching them play, but I hate watching them play against teams that aren't that good because they play down to the talent. I don't like that. to me, maybe the biggest, outside of division games, the biggest game that if I'm a Chicago Bear, I'm not saying as a fan is a weird thing and a crazy thing, and who knows why we do what we do. I mean, if you are on that team and you are in the locker room at Atlas Hall, you better win this game against Washington. You better win this game. You better win it, and your penalties better be zero. I want like 2 penalty yards. That's it. You go out there and you show them how disciplined you are. You show them how different this coaching staff is and how things are going to be different now. Because if you don't, it's hard to keep a locker room this early. We're going to see a couple of 1 year coaches, this year in college and pro football. You're going to see a couple of this.
You don't think the Bears are going to get rid of Ben Johnson already?
No. But I mean, it's if you're Ben Johnson, and I think he's a really smart guy, and I think he's a very, very good coach, and I think he has the possibility of being a really good head coach. So if you're you're smart, you're like, oh, I'm seeing bodies falling around here. We got to get this win. I got to show front office that this is a different team.
And you got to exercise the demons that really put your season into a tailspin last year.
Yes. Yeah.
And if it wasn't for McCaskey winning one from the grave, they finished the season like 0-15.
Yeah, thank you again, Virginia.
I mean, they started great.
Now here's and you said a term there that's odd. I was going to ask you this a little bit because Cincinnati is coming to town, and they're bringing Flacco. He is going to start. Zach Taylor said today that Joe Flacco is going to be the starting quarterback for the Bengals. It'll be wild to see him in that uniform. Actually, a little bit interesting because he played for Delaware. And Delaware has those kind of similar helmets, or they go the other direction, though. They go, but
Delaware's blue and yellow.
Yeah, but the symbols, like the Michigan helmet that they have.
Okay, yep.
And the Bengals are a little, they're to the side. It's not the same.
It's the same thing, but different.
Yeah, it's just, right, exactly. Coming to town, playing Green Bay, 2-1-1 Green Bay. You have an opportunity to beat up on a team that you should beat up on.
Yeah, 14.5 point favorite, you better.
Right.
But they were with Cleveland too.
I don't know that. I mean, do you as a Packer fan look at this as a get right game? Do you look at this as a must win? Or do you just look at this as, well, hey, we're back after our bye week and let's go ahead and get back to the season?
I look at that game like I do every game. You better win it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, Green Bay's a world beater. They're going to beat everybody. Personally, I think they should. But at the same time, I'm not that big of a Homer fan to sit there and say, oh, yeah, they're just going to walk in and trounce. Because, I've said this about Green Bay for years. Every time you count them out, they're going to show up and win. Yeah. Every time you just say, oh, they just need to show up and win, they make it look so difficult. That game a couple of years ago when McCarthy was in Dallas, that they came up here in Green Bay, won in overtime. They were down by 14 points in the fourth quarter and they tied it, went to overtime, and they won it. Nobody gave Green Bay a chance, and I'm standing at the tailgate in the parking lot tailgating, maybe not a few beers deep, but I said, no one gives Green Bay a chance today. We're gonna kick their and you beat them. And I mean, it was a fun game to watch, but I'm not going to say this is you better win it. It's like you must win it or anything like that. Because looking at the schedule coming up,
that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to see
next. You got the Bengals this week. You got the Cardinals down in the desert the next week.
Okay.
Then you go to Pittsburgh, and then you're home against Carolina. You should go 3-1
at least.
Pittsburgh, you never know.
Yeah.
And you're playing up against an Aaron Rodgers who finally has a chance to beat you. Then after that, you're home on a Monday night against your boy Nick Sirianni and the Eagles.
That's going to be a monster game.
Yep, that in theory it should be. That's going on November 10th. Then I think on week 11 you go to play the Giants, and week 12 that no good team that voluntarily wears purple comes here on open weekend of deer season.
Mm-hmm.
So I just looking at that at a glance from 80,000 feet. I'm saying you, in a perfect world, you maybe only lose one.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Two at the most.
I think.
And you're still very much in the division chase and a playoff spot and everything that goes with it.
I think because here's a big thing of what I'm always talking about when I'm talking about you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm saying it as in, you know, if you want to be taken seriously as a Super Bowl contender, you got to win these games. You got to finish.
You got to win the gimmies.
Right. I'm saying that not because of the fan base, not because of the talking heads, not so Stephen A. Smith can go off for an hour about how great you are. I'm talking about in that locker room to believe, to get that belief, to get that confidence, to get that swagger, you've got to do certain things. You don't see a lot of teams win without it. Like, we say defense wins championships. How many quiet defenses have won championships? How many defenses that didn't believe in themselves? When's the last time you saw that?
When did any team that didn't believe in themselves?
Exactly. How do you get that belief? Winning the games you should win. Winning those things. So you keep up at that, and you beat up Cincinnati like you're supposed to. You give Philly a good game. You beat Philly. That's how you get
I mean, you're playing them at home on a Monday night in November. You should. And then I've been looking down the road into December. Sure, the game doesn't have the luster that it did earlier the season, but you got Baltimore coming up here. That's some predicted Green Bay Baltimore Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know what to make out of Baltimore anymore. I think they got bigger problems than what any of us ever suspected.
If you want to bring gold back to Green Bay, this is how you do it. Your management has done what they needed to do. Management has done, I think, everything that they were asked to do and more. You know, that's done. Mm-hmm. You got still some tinkering to do. You're going to have injuries. They got to do stuff at the trade deadline, blah, blah, blah. But their job is done. It's on the coaching staff and these players. And as far as I can tell, you've got players that are balling out. You got players that are bought in. They're all there. They're all there for each other. You got a very strong locker room. Now the microscope goes directly on the coaching staff. It should, at least. If it's not, then I don't know what you're looking at. Because if it doesn't fall on the coaching staff, then why are you paying him that money?
Well,
why does it matter who the coach is then? Go ahead and just get AI to do it. Just have AI be the coach or something, and just let them call up the plays and stuff. It's a lot cheaper, and everybody else is cutting jobs nowadays and stuff. So
I don't know what Allen Iverson's up to anymore. But anyway,
I'll tell you this, you won't have to worry about practice.
Yeah, that's
if
right.
Allen Iverson
practice?
Is your coach. You're probably not practicing.
You're talking about practice.
I like the idea of
and then you won't. You'll be talking about playoffs.
I love the idea of a basketball coach all of a sudden coaching an NFL team.
Well, the one thing, James, I do want to bring up though is whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Just getting into the playoffs is what teams shoot for. Now, you want to win your division. You want to get a high seed. You want to have as many home games as possible. Yes, but Green Bay's proven just getting the playoffs. This is the last time that they won the Super Bowl. They just got in on the last day. So, and that goes against everything we've been talking about of leave no doubt. Don't leave it up to that wild card going on the road. Don't.
That team.
You get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
That.
But I think they're two very different teams in the confidence. And that team with Rodgers just believed in themselves.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They were playing with house money.
Yep.
They had nothing to lose.
And they had Kevin Green.
And Kevin Green. But they had nothing to lose. And there was not really the expectations on that team that are on this current team right now. And this current team also has, I think, but I don't know if I've ever said this about Mike McCarthy, but I think Mike McCarthy may be a better coach than Matt LaFleur. And not now, not currently, but I mean prime McCarthy and this current version
of
LaFleur.
Who knows? Who knows? We might see McCarthy in the state of Wisconsin again sooner than later.
Maybe he'll be a better college coach. I don't know. But I don't think he aged well with the – you got to grow. You got to get better at your job, and I don't know if McCarthy ever did.
How can you age well when you have Jerry Jones staring down your neck?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But, you know, that's also the job you wanted.
Yeah, it is.
He slept at his house. Did you hear about that?
No.
So when Jerry Jones, like, that was his guy, that he wanted to bring in McCarthy. And so he has him come over, and he's going to have dinner and stuff. They have a couple drinks. This is all from what we've heard.
Do they make a pillow fort?
These two. And I'm not sure if the pillow fort was made, but I bet you.
Do they have a pillow fight?
I bet you they had cocoa and pajamas, and I bet you that McCarthy and Jerry Jones both fell asleep telling each other little horror stories, doing each other's hair. I don't know, man. And then
Leon Lett dropped the ball.
It's a really weird situation there. And then McCarthy in the opening press conference of becoming a Dallas Cowboys coach basically with his boss right there says he lied to his boss. He told part of how he got the job was telling Jerry Jones that all he did in the season that he wasn't coaching was watching games and watching footage, and he was just preparing for this. And then in the opening press conference, he says, "No, I didn't do that. I didn't do any of that. That is a hustle, man. Yeah. You got some money off of that, some millions off of that." When we get back, I want to get into. I still got another good story for everybody that we'll wrap up with. I do want to talk a little baseball, and River Kings got some interesting stats there. And we got a schedule to talk about. We got some high school sports to talk about.
Sure,
Michael.
Do.
All that coming up for you on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, right here at 105.5 WIRI.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with Wham Incorporated. Wham Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. Wham Inc., for the hero in you.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug-to-driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Frost advisory tonight, mostly clear, patchy frost and lows in the mid-30s tonight. Sunshine for tomorrow, a high temp in the mid-60s. Slight shower chance Thursday night. Back into sunshine for Friday, highs once again in the mid-60s. Currently 57 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers on your radio dial. Thank you, Mrs. Stapleton, playing us in. Michael and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Hope you're having a great one out there. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. You can also text us or call us through the Civic Media app. Encourage you to do just that. The NCAA has adopted the January 2nd through January 16th transfer portal window. This is the only portal window now. This goes into place this season. So this new 15-day transfer portal window opens one day after college football playoff quarterfinals conclude. Players on the two teams competing in the CFP National Championship game on January 19th will get an additional 5-day period from January 20th to the 24th to enter the portal after their season ends.
They need to amend that. And the only way they need to amend it is if you do not play in your bowl game, you cannot enter.
That, you know, they could avoid all this by just moving the whole dang thing until after the playoffs.
Yep.
Why are you doing this during the playoffs?
Right. And well, that what that'll do is obviously help out the teams that advance in the playoffs. Right. That's what that's going to do.
But what I'm saying is
all these guys that play regular seasons and then the last one or two games that, you know, they're just going to get a mid-tier, maybe higher mid-tier bowl. Yeah, we're sitting out. We're going to hit the portal. No. You do not do that to a team. You don't do that to a fan base that ultimately does pay your bills. You don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is you need to man up if you're the NCAA in these conferences and say, you can declare all you want, but then you're going to be ineligible. You need to stay with us a full season and then do what you want.
I think they've got to get rid of this blurred line and just go a professional route. Yes, the power of the players is not going anywhere. You're not putting the genie back in the bottle,
right.
And that's a good thing. If you care about the working force, if you come from a blue collar family, you should understand and relate to what it is means to get paid to do your work. And these young men are doing the job. They are the reason people are watching, not anything else. You can go if you don't believe me, throw the mascots out there and tell me how many people are going to watch Oklahoma, Wisconsin. If it's two on one. It wouldn't be bad. And actually, now that I'm saying it, I kind of want it to happen. But they're watching because of these players.
Yeah.
And these players deserve to be paid. They are playing a man's game. They deserve to be paid. They're over 18. They deserve a good contract. They also, all of this is about learning to be an adult, learning to grow to be an adult. And part of it being adult is
honoring contracts.
Yes, you make a deal and you stick to it.
Yes,
and that doesn't mean that. My team it didn't work out the way I wanted it to, and
yep.
I'm
see benched. A piece out,
or we didn't get to the college football playoffs, so I don't want to be in the Pop-Tart Bowl. No, you signed a contract.
You're playing in that stupid game.
You better be the MVP of the Pop-Tart Bowl. I don't want you just in the game.
Right.
I want you in the whole game, and I want you to play the whole thing because that's what a contract means: fulfilling your thing, fulfilling the whole job. I've worked with a couple of people in radio that have. Moved on to another job, and their last 2 weeks they use their vacation time so they can get their vacation time.
I have no problem with that.
That's a whole different ball game. But that's a little bit like what you're trying to do here with this, where you take the money and then, but you don't want to finish out the season. That's not how life
right.
works. If you go into the Pop-Tart Bowl and you blow out your knee, that's life. That's why you got money.
Yep.
That's why we fought for you players to have money so that when that does happen, you're not just well, sorry, kid.
Right.
Go ahead and use that arts degree that you got now and make a career out of that. No, you
right.
got a little bit of money. Maybe you can rehab. Maybe you can come back,
right.
get drafted, whatever, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, that's no different than me right at the bitter end of my full-time career here, lawn care. Now, I know what I'm going to be doing in 2 weeks. About 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going hunting all the time. It's going to be the rut, prime hunting. Well, you know, and then whatever over the winter, relax and heal up because I got some dings and bumps and bruises mm-hmm. here that need to get healed. Well, I'm getting older. Well, but here's the thing. I step wrong in someone's yard here in the next week. I break my ankle. I have to have surgery. Well, there goes my plans of doing any hunting, but I guess what I'm doing all winter. I'm recouping to come back next year.
Yeah.
And that's proven the point right there mm-hmm. in a real world situation of that some of these athletes, they some of them, pros and college, and even high school, they don't get.
I think I will give the NCAA credit for doing something.
Yes.
At least they're doing something, and that's the bare minimum, but at least they're doing something. But
compared to what we usually see them do.
Yeah, and 15 days is far more than enough time. You didn't need the 30-day window. That was ridiculous. That was a TV show. You don't have to turn everything into a TV show. Not everything has to be that. Like, can we get rid of signing day as well? Signing day doesn't mean what it used to, right? Like, it used to mean signing day, kid pulls up, puts on the hat, and you got him for 4 years.
Well,
that kid's going to be like, man, he might be there 2 minutes now. Maybe that hat, he's not even going to break that brim in the time that he's going to be at the university, possibly.
That's another thing, and I got to be careful saying what I say about it because everybody, I don't know how far I should go into it, but it's everybody, what I get told is everybody needs a signing day. And I'm like, okay, what do you mean? And I've had so many people complain to me, like Lincoln, for an example, Lincoln High School. They do a signing, what I call signing palooza, where it's not your D1 or your D2 athletes. It's the ones that go the D3 route or even the junior college route.
and they all of a sudden, hey, guess what? You're not signing a letter of intent because they don't have them for D3 or tech school or whatever, but you are you deserve some recognition, which I agree they do. So they do a letter a letter of intent, but a letter of commitment. And okay, cool. I'm okay with that. But at what point do you cut it? Because, I mean, if you're going to a two-year school, to a four-year school, are you doing this for everybody? And, I mean,
I think there should be signing day for every sport except for the major ones. I think basketball, football, they don't need it. These kids are going to have plenty of time to get attention, plenty of time to be out there.
But your tennis, your wrestling, your golf, your whatever.
Them, they should have them. They don't get near the attention they deserve, and I think they should have it. I will say, though, there is gray area here. When you're talking about rural areas and maybe this kid, he's the first kid to ever get a scholarship at this university or something. Like, I mean, there's gray area.
First one in 50 years at this sport, yeah.
I more have an issue with the mouse making the millions that it makes off of these
rat,
kids and stuff. Where I'm not on a smaller level, on a local level, I think it's sweet. I think it's cool.
Right.
I'm very hypocritical. I completely own that I'm hypocritical about this. But I don't like necessarily the way that the mouse kind of does this, where they know what they're doing and they don't really care. They just completely, they're finding whatever ways they can still to take advantage of these kids to do it. And that never sits well with me. The other thing about the NCAA is going to be doing, and certainly any of this stuff you guys want to talk about out there, hit us up, let us know. NCAA is closer to letting Division I athletes bet on pro sports.
I saw that.
Division II and Division III are forget about them. Nobody cares, apparently. We do, but they don't. But Division I, they're inches, and by me saying this, and there being an article on the ESPN network of it and everything, you can pretty much write this one in. This is going to happen. This is when they cast a new superhero and it quote-unquote leaks out that Henry Cavill's the new Superman or something.
Yeah.
It leaks out so that the powers that be, the producers and all that, can get a feel of the audience without really getting a feel for it. They didn't put out a press release. It just snuck out there. They're just they're casting a line is what they're really doing. That's what we're doing with this article. That's what the NCAA is doing with this. It's no different than when you've had, before this NFL season started, you heard a lot of talk about an 18-game season. You heard a lot of talk about that because it's going to happen. Roger Goodell was casting the line. He's just throwing the seed, just dropping that seed, letting it go.
Yep.
That's what we're getting closer and closer to here. And why? What's the cause for this? What's the reason behind this? Like,
keep viewers, man.
Now I'm a grown man. I understand the money. I understand making more bettors if you are with the company or whatever. But for the NCAA, what is their reason to do this? Again, I understand money, all that stuff. Give me any other reason that doesn't have to do with money. Give me the reason that the NCAA, and if anybody remembers what those initials are supposed to mean and what college is supposed to be about, we're going to grow an addiction? Gambling's an addiction.
Like it can be.
It's an addiction. Like, it's not that it can be. It is. You may think you have a handle on it, but it has a handle on you. And that is the same thing with any addiction. And this is not somebody just throwing this out there. I grew up with a Hall of Fame heroin addict. I know what I'm talking about.
Alcoholism runs in my family, man. So do a few other things. But
tell me, out of five kids, they allow legal gambling in college football, and out of, say, five college professional athletes gamble, out of those five kids, statistically, three of them are going to turn into addicts. It's just it's a time bomb. It's just waiting to happen. I'm not talking about grandma getting her lottery tickets or something like that. I'm talking about when you're signing up and you're making an account on DraftKings while you're playing in a game, like that kind of stuff. Like, what's the advantage of this? Now, if you tell me it's going to happen anyway and we're trying to police it already happening, I get that. I can hear that argument.
Yeah, that's honestly what it is.
But that's not where they're coming at it from. They're trying to gloss this over in some educational thing or something, and that's not the case.
Money management.
Just own it. Just own it. Just say, hey, we're selling out as hard as we can. Anybody else want to buy us? How long, I mean, we're already seeing bits and pieces of it, but the other part of this that bugs me and that nobody seems to be talking about or paying attention to, with the rise of DraftKings and all these companies buying up sports networks and sports shows and all these teams and all
games
this.
Soon.
This is opening the door for all that oil money to come in more and more and more. And you are going to have more and more of them running these teams and owning parts of these teams. And that doesn't sit well with me. That I don't know how anybody else is just okay with that. And like, it's bad enough that some of our funniest comedians are going and performing for that money and everything. That money coming in, and I'm not saying this like we're perfect or anything like that, but you're going to take that money, you're taking the blood with it. You're not only just taking the blood with it, you're taking the problems with it, and you're also showing the world that, hey, I'm okay with human atrocities and these different things that are going on.
You're starting to go down a rabbit hole on that one, in my opinion.
Because it's all connected.
It is. And, I mean, some of the same people that are going
to... Don't let them get away with what they're trying to do here, Michael. What they're trying to do is gloss... they're money laundering. That's all they're doing right now with the Live Golf and all this different stuff. They're trying to clean the dirty money. This is criminology 101. They want to do it with college football. Now they want to do it with NFL football and everything. There's no slippery slope. There's no going down a rabbit hole. This is connected, man. There's not a chalk thing behind me here where I'm connecting all these dots.
I mean, there's a big board behind you.
There is a big board, but it's our wall of thanks because we have the best listeners in radio. All of this stuff leads into each other. Gambling, that you are opening the door. If you're okay with that money, why would you not be okay with this money? And then where's the love of the game and the care of the game, and it's got to be about football or got to be about this and stuff. No, just own it, and it's about the money. And I'll go watch high school football, and I'll have my fun doing that.
That's becoming that way, too, with NIL. That's come down at high school as well.
There is no legitimate reason to allow gambling in professional in collegiate sports. I don't get this, and I think that you're not policing this better by doing this. You're basically just saying, well, they're going to do it anyway, so we're not even going to try to stop them. Whereas you could be actually okay. Instead of this, put the money and the time into education about how gambling can, how much trouble it can get you in, how many NFL players, how many college players have lost this amount of money, this amount. Of money, go ask Icky Woods what happened with gambling. You know, there's a plenty of
examples. Plenty
of examples of this, man. And I am not the type of person that likes to tell other people what to do with their money or do with their lives. That is not my job. I can barely control my own life. And I don't even know where my money is. It's somewhere. I'm not sure. But this, I'm also going to the NCAA closer to letting Division I athletes bet on pro sports. Yay. Like, that ain't... No, I made a promise to this audience a long time ago. I was going to be honest. And honestly, this sucks.
Yeah,
this
I'm not a fan of it.
Stupid. This is a bad idea. And it's as bad of an idea as I've seen from the NCAA in quite a while. And that's saying something.
You know, I guess my biggest thing was your statement that just because they have access to it, and if they do partake, it's automatically going to make them an addict to it. I totally disagree with that, but I do believe that if you do have that like you have mentioned with addiction in the family, as I mentioned with addiction in the family, that if it hooks you, you're done for. But I do believe, unfortunately, unless you get the help and it sticks. But I do believe that if you can, anything with moderation, whether it's tobacco, whether it's alcohol, whether it's fast food, whether it's anything in moderation, and if you can control yourself with it. Now, unfortunately, unfortunately, you're right, that, three out of those five probably are going to get in a bunch of trouble.
But you're also correct that it's not fair to say that just because they allow it, all of a sudden every college athlete is going to become a gambling addict.
Because I look at it like
that's
this.
That's not what I was trying to say, and you were right to call me on that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking in my head about the stats that I've looked up in the last couple of months about how, three out of five people becoming addicts and some of that. But I wasn't clear enough, and that's important nowadays.
I'll be brutally honest with you, that the alcoholism runs in my mind all the time with on my family side of it. And it's just like, okay, I can drink a bunch of beer in a sitting, and sometimes I do it more regularly than I should, but then again I look at it and say, hey, stop. And then I back off and go away from it. Having some self-control in there, and that's where they need to work with those kids. to have self-control. And that is a thing that people, I'm generalizing here, that people don't have anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People don't have self-control. Should I say that or shouldn't I? Mm-hmm. Well, if you have to think about it, you probably shouldn't. Now, there's always times and places where me and you get in trouble during our work meetings because we're cracking jokes and we're laughing and we're about ready to get kicked out. You know, Pam's going to throw us through the wall.
We're lucky we didn't go to school together, man. We'd have never graduated.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Well, at least we would have been, you know, duking it out for class clowns or something. But the point is there's time and a place, but they also need to teach accountability. But that also comes from at home. But I also understand not everybody has the good home life that I had, that you had. I mean, it could always be better. Don't get me wrong.
It does come from this, and it comes from, you know, being at in a place of learning.
Yes.
And growing as a chance to do that, like a state university or a college or a mid-state or something like that. And allowing gambling in those places, I don't know that benefits. That's going to – how does that help education? How does that help kids learning and growing as
sometimes
human
the only way you can learn is to make a mistake, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I don't like that answer, James, but sometimes it is the only answer.
Right, you're right. And maybe that's their reasoning behind it. Maybe it's more of this
I don't think that's their reasoning.
I get more and more tired of these people that are in these positions of speaking on this stuff, and they're lying right to your face.
Oh,
just
I know.
Own it.
I know.
You could have a quick press conference. Yes, I am representing the NCAA, and you had some questions about this. I can tell you right now it was about the money. Okay, we're done here. All right, thank you, everybody. Have a good afternoon.
I wish they all went like
just
that.
Do it. Just do it. Just go ahead and do that, and I'll be fine. I'd respect that a lot more. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We're wrapping up Playmakers for this Wednesday.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers trained to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is 105.5 WYRI.
Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. You've been trying to love her, but she leave your heart breaking. Oops, what a man. I hope she never breaks.
WYRI. On your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Frost advisory tonight, mostly clear, patchy frost and lows in the mid-30s tonight. Sunshine for tomorrow, a high temp in the mid-60s. Slight shower chance Thursday night. Back into sunshine for Friday, highs once again in the mid-60s. Currently 57 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Played in by Mr. Keith twice here. Gotta like that.
Oh, yeah.
Michael and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. I want to talk high school sports with you, Michael, but real quick.
Yeah.
Browns, we referenced earlier them trading Joe Flacco to Cincinnati, meaning that the quarterback room thinned out a little bit there. Even with that, though, Stefanski is still hesitant to name Sanders the number two quarterback. And I don't know if this kid just isn't ready to play professional football or Stefanski just hates him that much. I can't tell what's going on there, but that's going going to be an interesting story going forward.
Yeah, I don't know what to make out of that.
I don't know, but I know that we've probably talked more about the Cleveland Browns and people in Cleveland may be talking about them. So moving on to our own local sports here and everything. Real quick reminder to everybody out there, at 7:05, the Luke Fickell Show will be on WFHR 97.5 FM. Go ahead and check that out if you'd like. And over here on our station at 105.5, we've got at 5:50 tomorrow, Thursday, Cooley Christian Providence taking a trip to Nacoosa, take on the Papermakers boys soccer team. Mike and Laura are going to have this one for you. How you feeling about this game? How you feeling about calling this game?
I don't have a problem calling it. I mean, I've enjoyed every one that I've done so far this fall. That one's going to be interesting. Nacoosa, they've kind of cooled off a little bit from a really nice start, about 500 in the conference, about 500 overall, too. Cooley, they've got a position to maybe win the conference if they haven't already. I've got to double-check the numbers when I get home, do some pregame work. But, you know, I don't know if you caught any of the game last night, but when it was kind of the slack time, mm-hmm. you know, getting in a discussion with Seth and about favorite Halloween movies, which I know for sure I was going to ask Laura about that as well.
Yeah.
In case we have that again.
it's a great, it's I have to tell you, it's I love that we are able to do this.
I mean, we kind of went euchre on it, I admit.
Oh, but it was awesome. It was awesome. And we, back in the day, we couldn't really do that. We didn't have the technology to really be able to do a lot of that stuff and everything. So I think that's really cool. So,
I even got a text message about The Exorcist on that.
It's awesome. Awesome, man. That's very cool. Coming up on Friday, 6:50. We will have Playmakers here at 4 to 5. Be sure to join us for that. Going to have a fun show lined up for you. 6:50, Wisconsin Dells at Nacoosa. Michael, you're staying in Nacoosa. You're going to be calling this one with Don on the board. Big shout out to Don running things. I always appreciate that. You know you can count on that game.
Oh, yeah.
Dells, Nacoosa, any preview of that one? Anything you're looking at on that one?
That's really bragging rights. I mean, that's one I've got to double check with the numbers again. But I believe the Dells, they're kind of in a race to get into the playoffs. And this is one that they're going to have to get. And remember, last year, Nacoosa had a chance to beat the Dells in the Dells. And if they would have, they probably would have been a home game in that first round instead of having to go to Abbotsford. Well, that didn't happen, and they went to Abbotsford, and they got beat by a pretty good Falcon squad. And I could see Nacoosa trying to throw a wrench in the Dells' playoff bids and hopes and see what can happen there.
What about the rest of the schedule? Slade, anything standing out to you there?
Port is playing Oneida Nation. That's one that has gone back and forth. Oneida Nation's canceled some games, and they're playing some games. So, that should be a decent one. That should be a measuring stick for the Blackhawks. The Royals taking on Auburndale. You know, they gotta win. They gotta hope something good happens there. But Auburndale's so good. Man, they are good.
Yeah, they are.
And then Rapids playing New Richmond. Rapids still searching them for that first win for Coach Mike Krenz. They've been close. New Richmond's a tough team. I don't know if it's going to happen in their final regular season home game, but you go out there and you try.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, any first year coaching it's going to be like this. You're going to see
some of this. It's going to be
tough. From what I've heard, and I honestly have not been to any of the games or anything, but I've seen a little bit here and there, I've heard a little bit here and there about it. Positives, positives
about this
season from the coaching and
they've started there and they've stuff, started so. to establish a run game, which earlier in the season all they could do was throw it.
Yeah.
And now they're starting to balance, and they've had closer and closer games.
Gotta like seeing that. And any positives are certainly appreciated.
Right.
That game, again, 6:50 Friday, Wisconsin Dells at Nacoosa. Take it on the Papermakers. Mike and Don going to have that one for you. As I mentioned, WFHR before, Wisconsin Hockey are going to be on the dial on Thursday at 6:30 over on 97.5 FM. And we will have that Badger game for you Saturday, 4 o'clock. Badgers at Iowa. I'm guessing a 6-3 game. I think that it could be a 6-3 game.
It could
right
be.
There. I don't. Both teams are they both teams are notorious for dragging each other down into the mud. No, Iowa no better. Maybe better than any other university at doing.
Kirk Ferentz
that's
squad.
His game.
Yep.
I actually think that Kirk Ferentz gets it hurts him physically when the team gets over 14 points. I think that actually it did, even if it means that they're going to win, I don't know that he wants to do it. I don't know that he likes to. I think that Kurt Ferentz thinks the football should never go higher than 15.
They were overly efficient.
Like, what are you doing? You're ruining yourself. We got to play another week. We got to play next week. Quit doing it. That should be an interesting game, though. We'll see. Got interesting college slate ahead. I did have one more good story that I wanted to get to as I'm bookending these. I had a great one earlier, Michael, talking about this.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Cool. An 18-year-old hockey player named Jackson Drum received a special welcome back at a Minnesota Wild preseason game. Jackson suffered a very serious spinal cord injury while playing prep school hockey and has spent 9 months away from the rink recovering. He still has a lot of rehab to go, but doctors initially thought he'd be paralyzed, and he's already starting to walk. Jackson says he wants to inspire others to beat the odds. A shout out to the Minnesota Wild welcoming that young man to the rink, getting him a jersey and all that.
That's good stuff.
Treating him like a fellow hockey player.
That's good stuff.
That's the hockey way. That was cool to see. Speaking of the hockey way, your River Kings in action this week, and we'll be talking about that on Friday. Talk about this game with the Dells and the Coos and some of the other stuff, too. It's been a real fun show, Michael. Thanks. Monday, today, good hanging out with you.
Yeah, it's been a good time. I love it.
Want to say a shout-out to our whole team around here, in particular, Randy. Appreciate you, brother. We'll be talking to you soon. And I want to make sure that you are ready for some great stuff coming up. Again, on Thursday, Cooley Christian Province at Nacoosa, boys soccer, 5:50 per game. Be here for that. Have a good night, everybody.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nacoosa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Wednesday afternoon, evening, however you want to look at it. Either way, we're going to kick it off with Thompson Square.
We were sitting up there on your mama's roof, talking about everything under the moon, with a smell of honeysuckle and your perfume. All I could think about was my next move. Oh, but you were so shy, so was I. Maybe that's why it was so hard to believe when you smiled and said to me, are you gonna kiss me all night? Are we gonna